As we look at Acts chapter 18, we continue our series in the solid acts of God. There is more. It just seems as a theme for today, there is more. We're about to look at a man named Apollos, who is an amazing man of God that, as it says, and if you look with me in verse 24, it says, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. A lot of information is given to us about Apollos. As we think about him and consider him as a launching pad to where we're going today, this is a man that might be like some of us. It's a picture of what I see many Apolloses in the life of a church. Here is a man that we know that I believe, although we can't prove it, he probably wrote the book of Hebrews. I believe he wrote that letter to the Hebrews that we read. We don't know the author, but my guess is he probably was the author because of what we know. But at this point in time, in verse 24 and 25, we find, if you look at that verse, we can go backwards if you would, please. We see in that verse some very important information. He, at this point, really is still a Jew following a Jewish sect. The very concept of what it says is that he knew the way of the Lord and that he knew only the baptism of John tells us something very important. Tells us that Apollos was a really smart guy, had a lot of knowledge. Matter of fact, because of where he was born, we can infer, and from other places, he was well-trained in Roman and Greek culture, but also obviously well-trained in studying the Hebrew scriptures, or what we would call the Old Testament. He really had a lot of knowledge, and he was able to put it together. He was able to piece it together. But in the midst of all of that, his relationship was with the information and not with the Lord like it could have been. And here's where I see so many of us in the church today. So many of us have really a relationship with their knowledge about Jesus, but not with the person of Jesus. And perhaps that becomes one of the great challenges for many of us is to begin to even see this. This is a hard thing to see because it can be very deceptive and elusive that there are many who have this amazing relationship with a lot of knowledge about the Lord, but they haven't transitioned that into a personal relationship yet. Or what can often happen is you can be on a journey and then events happen and you pull back away and what you have left is you lose and you go backwards a little bit. The personal relationship doesn't seem to be there as much as the knowledge about Jesus because I know it happened to me. I see this happen to others. Years ago, just walking in the Lord, I found myself at a time when I was going to school and working very hard. I was living in Portland and I found myself over about an 18-month period really living on the knowledge of God and not on a relationship with the Lord. And I often look at Apollos and I think, I understand Apollos because I knew a lot about the scriptures. I was raised in it. I studied it. Spent way too much time in school looking at it. And in fact, was very comfortable in my knowledge that had just been accumulated. And I found during this time that I was able to rest on that because I was not reading the Word regularly, matter of fact, seldom. I was not praying like I should have, seldom. I was more like some of us. It was the crisis moment that brought me to my knees, but otherwise it just seemed like I was too busy. I was a teacher. I was teaching in a school. I was helping coaching. I was attending, I was so much of my life was so full that it seemed like there wasn't time to spend relationally with Jesus. And I often rationalized it, well, it's just for this week or this month. But it was amazing how a month became several months, and then became a year, and before you know it, it was almost a year and a half. So I feel like I awakened to what had happened. And I realized, I need revival. I need to change something here. And there's something of what I can see in Apollos here that happens to some of us. We get tired, we get frustrated, we get busy, and there just isn't enough living water coming into our lives, and it's our own fault. You know, we want to blame everyone else. We want to blame the church. We want to blame somebody because, you know, God forbid it would be something of our own responsibility that we would awaken to and realize what we have done as opposed to what we want to blame others for, what they had done to us. Because I've discovered something, a relationship with Jesus is about our relationship with Jesus. It's a decision, an action that each of us individually are responsible for. No one else is responsible for your relationship to Jesus but you. It isn't my job to give you a relationship with Jesus. It's my job to point you there, to encourage you, to strengthen you. But I can't do it for you. No pastor, no church, no theology can do it for you. It's something you must do for yourself. But I understand how easy it is to pull away. I understand how easy it is to be smart people and yet be in difficult places with God. I've met some very intelligent people who are really a long way from Jesus, who were at one point very close to Jesus. Apollos was a learned man. The scripture tells us thorough in his knowledge, thorough in his understanding. I'm convinced that he was awakening the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. He was putting two and two together. He's reading the Old Testament. He's hearing the testimonies of what he had heard about Jesus. And he's connecting the dots. And at this point, I'm convinced he was more about a sect of Judaism, or he was talking about something that was more of God than ever before had understood. And he was excited. Matter of fact, the word says it right there. He was fervent in spirit, and there was something very powerful about his enthusiasm, his conviction, and putting together the education and training. This guy was dynamite as he shared the Word of God. But there was more. We go on and we see in verse 26 that he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And here comes an amazing couple. I love these two, Aquila and Priscilla. A husband and wife team. They heard him, and they took him aside, and look what it says, explain to him the way of God more accurately. That is such a powerful statement. It says, and when he desired to cross Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, and when he arrived, he greatly helped those who believed through grace. Notice the change in terminology. He vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And all of a sudden, because of, and we don't see all the conversation, but Aquila and Priscilla sat down and explained to him the way more accurately. I don't know how much time it was, but I have a feeling they had a really long dinner, or he hung out for a while with them. There is such amazing power in our hospitality and sharing and working together. I read this story, and it is so powerful for me because it is about what you and I are working on and changing a culture. I am so hopeful for us that we would become Aquila and Priscilla's, that we would become people that are willing to open up our lives and our homes and lose some of our overstated privacy and too much of our reservedness and become a people that are willing to share Jesus with others. See, I see you and I doing a great job in warmly welcoming and greeting people. And we do good given the task of ministry. But there's another place, a piece that I would like to see part of us, that we become willing to take in an Apollos, willing to take in new believers, willing to put an arm around someone who is struggling in their walk with God, and we look at them and say, let me share with you the way more accurately. Let me show you how to live life in Jesus. Because that's where a lot of amazing transformation takes place. And we cut ourselves short by just doing a great job here, and then we walk out the door, and then we go our separate ways. I'm talking about something more than just a group meeting once a week. I'm talking about something much more than just our amazing interaction here. But where we, you and I, become Aquila and Priscilla's, because there are a lot of people who need to have an arm put around them. Because some of you have that ability. Now, some of you are thinking right now, well, yeah, I need someone to put their arm around me. That may be true. But there's a lot of you who have this capability and you don't know it. And I am hoping, because let me tell you, some of you, if you did that, that'd be the best cure in your life. To start getting involved with others because of what it would do in your life for Jesus. I got to tell you, I've experienced that. I lived with an Aquila and a Priscilla. There was a time in my early walk with the Lord that I was praying because I'd received the Lord, I came out of basically a Jewish home that was religious. I had no exposure whatsoever. When I received the Lord, I had absolutely no idea what a Christian family would look like. And I was going to school and learning and reading about it, and I'm not sure that it's that easy to conceptualize what a Christian, I read books about the Christian family, the Christian marriage, and what it's supposed to look like. And I read the scriptures and I studied it, but there was something about getting a living, real example of it that really would make the difference for me that I hadn't had yet. And so it's kind of like trying to put something together, but you don't have any illustrations in front of you. You've got the instructions, and you're not quite sure how all the pieces work together, and you just hope they do. So I'll never forget the call from Eric and Jan. They lived in La Cañada, California, and I was attending a church that they were attending. Church kind of like this, maybe a little smaller, about this, maybe close to the same size. And they called, and Jan called and said, Steve. I said, yes, I just met them. Well, we believe God wants us to open up our home to you. I understand you're going to college and that you might need a room to rent. I said, well, yeah. Well, the Lord told us this. I hadn't said anything to anyone. I've been praying quietly about this. And literally, I got the call. God spoke to them. They picked up the phone and said, Steve, we'd like you to come and live with us. And I said, the Lord said that to you? Yes. Really? This was like one of the first miracles of my life. Because out of the blue, if it seemed like it, I get the phone call. And I spent over a year, 14 months with this family. And I watched them live as a Christian couple. I watched them pray at 8:00 every morning. He was a business owner. They were successful. I watched them handle family problems. I watched them go through some tremendous ups and downs with their daughter and all that was going on in her marriage and her life and how they handled it. I watched them how they handled all the kinds of crazinesses of life with his business. Because Eric opened his life to me. He shared. We had time together. We ate together. We talked. And I asked questions. And if you know me, I ask a lot of questions. And they answered them. I watched her receive the diagnosis of cancer and battle that in Christ. I watched them cry. We cried. We prayed. And God brought her through. And an amazing victory took place. Eric and Jan were an Aquila and a Priscilla that took in a young Jewish boy who had no idea. And I have to tell you, because of them, I had at least an image of how to live life as a family, as a marriage. I can only imagine what would happen if more of that could take place to some degree. I was sharing this with my team and the staff, and we have Kimo, who's new, on board with us, and he said, "Oh, you're talking about Ohana." I said, "Ohana? That sounds Hawaiian." He said, "It is." He says, "That's what we experience." And he was sharing some of his story of Ohana, and basically, we're family. And he said, after church, he said, it was part of our culture. We would go out with somebody, and he said, we would go eat noodles together. I think that would be such a great moment to go slurp up noodles together. We need more noodle places. But when you look up the word Ohana, which means family, the statement is basically, when they talk about this, family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten. Now, they even made a movie out of that. Now, it's interesting because Aquila and Priscilla were known. In Romans, it says, they have been co-workers in my ministry for Christ Jesus. That's what Paul spoke of when he thought of them. In fact, he wrote, they risked their lives for me. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And it's something that is such a scriptural concept. Romans 12 tells us, look it, just don't pretend that you love others. Now, can I say something hard? This is the church today, in a lot of ways, pretending to love others. He says, really love them. Hate what is wrong. We cannot be tolerant and look the other way to what is sinful and that things that oppose the Word of God. Stand on the side of good. In other words, on the side of Scripture. And it says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. And what does God call us to do? Share and serve. I saw this in action Wednesday. I believe we did this. And then it says, when God's children are in need, be the one to help them out. Get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner. Let me quote scripture for you. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner. Or take them out to slurp noodles. If they have a need, if they need lodging for the night. Now, God's called us to do Ohana, to be family, to have genuine affection for one another. And I got to tell you, although we could easily miss this in the midst of all the amazing events of Acts 18 and 19, but what was it that transformed Apollos, Aquila and Priscilla, who took him in and showed him the way more accurately and lived Romans chapter 12? Don't you want to be a part of that? What an amazing opportunity for all of us to share in this way. Now, there is more, and we see it affirmed as we continue in Acts 19. We see what the more is, and we understand that there was more that was explained to them. It says, and it happened in Acts 19:1, while Apollos was in Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Well, then what, you're baptized?" And basically what this is saying right now is they're kind of reflecting back to the very thing that Apollos was teaching. So they said, "Into John's baptism." Well, Paul said, "Well, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying that people, that they should believe on him and who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, it says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul had laid hands on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. In other words, there was more. There was more. And what is being brought to us is a lot. But let me emphasize one point. What was transitioning was a relationship with Jesus. Because none of that which we read about will happen unless you have a genuine, real relationship with Jesus. It doesn't happen because you know a lot of information and have a lot of facts. It happens because you surrender your life, you give your life over, you receive Jesus in your life, and then amazing things, there is more that will take place. John wrote that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say, he will take care of mine and declare it to you. The very fact of what is more is the truth and the declaration of who Jesus is and the relationship that we can have. Peter declared this. His very first message to the gathered body, and in Acts chapter 2, he said to them, "Repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children." In other words, see, we hear the word repent and we get a little nervous. In other words, Peter says, change the way you're thinking, change the way you're doing, change the way that you've even believed, and receive Jesus now. Receive a pursuit. Peter was struggling with a people who knew a lot of stuff. And he's saying you need a relationship with Jesus because you are the fulfillment of what God spoke about. And that's you and I. You are the fulfillment of Scripture. You are, if you will, a prophetic people. God spoke about this moment in time when we would be here. You have been given life for purpose and destiny in Christ. And your purpose in life isn't what you probably think it is. I find a lot of people don't understand their purpose in life, which is to worship God and to enjoy God and then to share with others. And to become a living church. That's why some of you need to repent. Again, a hard word. It's been in our culture roughed up. But repentance is a beautiful word. It's a loving word. It's a changing word. Because all it means, it's like, haven't you? I did this the other day. I made a right turn when I should have made a left. Anyone ever done that? And I had to go up to the light and do a U-turn and go the other way. Wasn't a big deal. But then I started going the other way, and life was okay again. And that's all that this is about, is you're going the wrong way, you go up to the light, do a U-turn, and go the right way. And start working life as you're supposed to, and so your mindset changes, your heart changes, your purpose changes, your direction changes, your values change. And then with that comes this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit, because there is more. And the more is stopped because your relationship is with knowledge and not with Jesus. You need to open your life up to Jesus. And we come to the communion, and I want this to be so much a part of us today, right now. You know, Jesus said his disciples were really struggling. And they were struggling with life, and he said, listen to me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Very well thought out, very significant statement. Because there's no other option. This isn't a way, a truth, a life. It is the only way. It is the only truth. And it is the only life. And there is no other way. Contrary to everything else that you might be hearing, there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. And today, when we gather around the table, Jesus in Mark 14, they were having Passover, they were eating, and Jesus took bread. He blessed, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup. He had given thanks, he gave it to them, they drank from it, and he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. There's three things today that I want you to remember. There's a lot of directions we could go, but today I want you to remember three simple things. Number one, your sins are forgiven. Repentance ought to be something we do regularly, not just every now and then, because we all are sinners. Is anyone in this room not a sinner? Good. We're in this together. So I have this amazing word to you. Your sins are forgiven. Scripture tells us, if you'll go back, please. The Scripture tells us that this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, for the remission. And remission sounds kind of like remission-like of a disease or something. This is forgiveness. This is not like it's still hanging in you. It's gone. The concept of remission of sins here means it no longer is in your body. You get the report from the doctor. All the cancer is gone. Not a trace of it. Not even a cell remains in your body. When God says you have been forgiven and you've received that, and you have spoken that, you've confessed it, there is remission, total, complete removal. Not even a cell or a trace of anything of that sin, it's now gone from you. It doesn't, there is no better chemotherapy than that. Can you say amen to that? And then with that, God gives you a new heart. It says, you know, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, there it is again, right? Forgiveness. And get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. I was talking to someone who had their old heart removed, literally, and they were given a new heart. And he's struggling a little bit with his new heart, and the doctor said to him, if you don't start taking care of yourself, you're going to need another heart. And I don't know that you're going to get another one. There's something about a new heart that God gives us that we must take care of it. Because God comes to bring us a new heart. Because the Lord doesn't have any pleasure in our death or our separateness from Him. It says, why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. Another way of saying, therefore, repent. You have complete forgiveness of sin. It's all removed. You have a new heart, and I love this, you have a new day. Today we woke up with an extra hour of sleep. It's a new day. But every day can be a new day. The scripture tells us if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And the word says his mercies are new every morning. So even tomorrow is a new day. Tuesday is a new day. But today is a new day. All your sins are forgiven. God has a new heart for you and a brand new day. Boy, every now and then I need a brand new day. Amen. As we hand out the elements of communion, would you think on this? And now, before we even move, listen to me. Will you ask yourself a very important question? Because I'm going to bring it back to you. What is your relationship with? Is it with Jesus? Or is it with the knowledge about Jesus? And today could be a new day for some of you. Because, you know, it's really deceptive. We know a lot about Jesus. We do a lot of stuff. I know. I've been there. But something needs to happen. We need a transformation. And we need to come back to a personal relationship with Jesus. Knowing about God is great, but it won't save you. What will save you is a personal relationship with Jesus. That's what I have. That's what God has given me. Ask yourself, do you have that? Do you know that you have that? Because if you don't, our time around the table is for you. If you do, our time is to affirm that, to celebrate that, to rejoice in that, that we are in Christ. That's the most important thing. We are in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that your word is so clear to us of what you've called us to and what we're to have. I pray as we prepare now, we will hold in our hand the bread of life. Lord, literally a daily bread. It reminds us that we have life because of this. The hope, because you said, I am the bread of life. And I pray that for some of us here, this will be a day of amazing transformation. This will be a moment when it really is a new day, a new beginning. And for the rest, oh God, we affirm what we have. And we rejoice and celebrate and are so thankful for the life that we have been given. We pray this in your name, Lord. Church, hold this matzah together so we can share together. This amazing moment took place when they handed out this matzah. All of a sudden, would start to make sense. There at the Passover that required the sacrifice of the lamb. The only way that there would be deliverance, the only way that there would be a new day, the only way that there was hope was a lamb would be sacrificed. And then Jesus said to them, I'm the lamb. You spent your entire life every year remembering Exodus, remembering the events that transpired. Let me tell you, it all points to me. I am the Lamb. And the very thing that John the Baptist declared when he first saw me come to the waters, he said, there is the Lamb of God. Now you will begin to know that in just a few hours, I will give my life for you so that you can have real deliverance. So you take and eat this. And for us and what has happened, the amazing gift of what God has brought to every one of us. Because of that, there is a new day. Because of that, there is forgiveness. Because of that, there is remission of sin. Not a cell is left. God forgives you. It requires a relationship with Jesus. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Before we receive this together with thanksgiving and celebration and joy, are you here and have yet to have a relationship with Jesus? Perhaps you did have one, but it got away from you. I offer you an opportunity today to take that step and to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. Give your life to Him and receive the amazing gift, the forgiveness of sin, a new eternity, a new heart. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like for us to come to agreement together. I invite you, if this is what you can do, what you need to do right now, raise your hand where you are. And with a raised hand, you would say, let's pray, Steve. I'm ready to receive Jesus. Raise your hand and just put it up. Leave it up. Acknowledge what you need. You will not be embarrassed. You'll be prayed for. Raise your hand. Don't miss this moment. It comes and goes so quickly. Now is the appointed time for you. Who else will raise your hand? Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for a few hands that are lifted, that we receive you as Lord and Savior, that come to that place of transformation. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for the amazing work you're doing right now and for the courage to raise our hand and to say to you, Lord God, forgive me, but I really need you. And for all of us, we are so thankful, for we do walk with you. We love you. And with this, we reaffirm who we are in Christ. We reaffirm, Lord, that we are your children and that we are more than just knowledge. We have more than just knowing about you. We have you. We are so thankful for that. And so together, we receive this bread of life in remembrance of you. Let's partake together, church. Can you say amen to that? As the cup comes by, in the same way, we will hand it out and ask you to hold it so we can share together. Come and reign. Jesus handed out the cup, and with that, they understood this was the cup of redemption. They knew what it meant for the nation of Israel Now Jesus is saying something very powerful, saying this isn't for a nation, this is for you. This is for all of humanity. That was the whole point. That you would experience the forgiveness of sin, the gift of eternal life. And Jesus would declare, I will take on all of the sin of humanity. Remember, he would go to the garden following this. And he would say to his father, if this cup could only pass. He cried out, Abba, Father. Because the word made it very clear, there was a cup of wrath. There was a cup of destruction that awaited all of mankind to be judged for its sin. And Jesus would take of that cup for you and me. And then he would drink every single drop of it. And he would say, look, it's empty. Not a drop left, for I will take on all of it for you. That's how much I love you. And we're reminded of that with the cup we hold. We share. We connect. We have that relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this cup of life. The reminder, Lord God, of the gift of life. But had you not taken on all of humanity's sin, past, present, and future, we would have no hope. But because, Lord, you took on all of it, we really do have a new day. We can walk out of here different, clean, holy. We can walk out of here a transformed people. So we thank you. In remembrance of all that you did for us, we receive this cup together and drink all of it. In your name, Jesus. Let's share together, church. How could we respond? By declaring, Lord God, where you go, I will go. Lord, I will follow you and you alone.